you really do have to like assess your family unit to be like, what's actually best for our family unit, for every single person here.
We still travel with both of our children, so we bring them everywhere as much as we can.
Is everyone okay?
We do stand up man wees.
No way. Have I had a shower? Have you had a shower? Whose pants are these on the floor?
New phrase that I've found. Work-life integration.
Okay.
I just like think of my son like when he's older. He's come back home after uni and he's like, oh, I'm just going to knit for a week. And I'll be like, I'll talk to you then.
On today's episode of the Parenting Tools podcast, we talk to Tom and Ellie Limebear. Ellie is a touring musician and Tom is her manager. They've got two young kids and this is just a really good episode.
When Ellie and Tom first had kids, they said, we're going to do this together. We're going to tour the world together as a family. And now they've got two. We asked them how that works and how that looks for them.
We also talked to Ellie about her new book, Say Goodbye to Anxiety. And let's jump in.
Let's jump in.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So welcome to the podcast, Ellie and Tom Limebear. Thanks
Hello.
So much for having us in your house.
Thank you for coming to our house.
It's a very lovely house.
Well, thank you. It's one room. One room. We've got one room.
One long room.
A long corridor.
A long corridor. But welcome.
Thanks
so great to have
you. Sunny Brighton. It's always sunny in Brighton, apart from today.
Seaside town. We've not seen the sea or any sun.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, seagull though. You did hear a seagull.
Yeah, I heard a seagull.
Yeah, there's that.
Oh, amazing. So let's dive straight into our questions. We always start off with a little bit about you guys. Who are you? What do you do? Kind of what's your family setup? All that kind of stuff.
So my name's Ellie, married to Tom. We've been married for seven years this year.
Amazing.
But we have two boys. Maccabee is 2.5. Wilson is 7 months. I think that's what we just worked out. And I am a songwriter. I am a worship leader. I write music and I tour and love it. It's a full life, I tell you. The juggle is real with motherhood and music. And I've also just written a book. So like I say, I'm a co-author of Say Goodbye to Anxiety. A co-author. I like that. But yeah, that's me. How about you?
Well, all of the above is true for me as well. I am a father to our two little boys. But I work in music, so I run like a little artist management company and we work with several artists, of which Ellie is one. That's awesome. But yeah, the juggle is very much real. Like both of us have, I don't like the word busy, but it's full. It's absolutely full. Every day there's something going on. And for us, it's like, it feels like a constant juggle between all things that you feel like, no, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This gives me purpose and everything. But it's constantly a juggle and there are so many different plates spinning. So I feel like both of us just every single day, the goal is like, how can we ensure that we don't drop plates today. Yeah. And every day looks totally different, but we're thankful we've got loads of family around to to help us. First grandchild on both sides.
Oh, really?
So we are milking.
We are all the attention.
Hey, you free to look after your grandkids? They're like, yes. It's like, okay, be there in five. So yeah, but we love it. It's a full life, but yeah, we love it.
Here we are. But welcome to our home.
Thank you so much for having us. So, sorry, how old are your kids again?
Maccabee is 2.5.
Yeah.
And then Wilson is seven months.
So at one point you had 2 under 2.
We did.
Yeah. And like from what? From that response.
Yeah.
Like how do you manage that? Like we talk a lot about like life balance and work-life balance. On the way over, actually, we're talking about a new phrase that I've found, which is work-life integration.
Okay, like, fancy.
Because it's all like together and it sounds like it's just very full. Like how was it 2 under 2?
Yes.
How do you juggle all of that?
Yeah, it was like such a jump. It felt like having Maccabee our first, like it very much felt that he just very much was a part of our life. We took him everywhere. We traveled a ton when he was a baby, trips all the time. And we just had our thing. Like we knew the system, didn't we? And it was such a great, kind of start to being parents, I guess. And then when Wilson came along, again, the joy of our life. You know, there's nothing like it as a child. But I think we're like, oh, the 1 to 2 jump is a little bit different. What do you do? How do you get ready? How do you leave the house? Who gets ready first? Have I had a shower? Have you had a shower? Whose pants are these on the floor? Like, it was just, I feel like, and we're still very much in that, I'd say, of just like the chaos of it. But it was a jump, wasn't it? And, you know, the whole thing. Thankfully, we work together. And like Tom said, he runs his own company. So there is a bit of kind of like leeway with, you know, time in the evening, you know, all of that sort of thing. It's not a strict 9 to 5, Monday to Friday job. So, but like the, what's it called? 2 weeks of parent leave. What is that called?
Paternity.
Yeah. Oh, I went on, went back to work. I was like, okay, I am confident, I'm strong. But no, how did you find it?
No, I think the integration word is really interesting. I think it's like, I wouldn't say it's like intentional, but like, I think by accident, maybe both of us just felt like high value to like be, to have our children be really involved in our lives. I mean, they're so young, but just, so, I mean, when we had one, like Maccabee would come everywhere with us. Like before he was one, he'd been to pretty much every continent bar two. So he like really traveled with us and it was amazing. I mean, super challenging, but we just got used to, you know, Maccabee being there. And I think even now, like I can see, you know, it's been quite formative for him. Like he's obsessed with drums and singing and guitar and like just watch it. And for me, it's been an amazing thing, like him watching Ellie, you know, do shows and events and conferences all over the world. And you can see the value that that integration's had. And then for me, it's been a bit more tricky because it's like, well, how do you integrate like a child into something so boring, like sitting on my laptop working? And I think for me, I've just like noticed like whether you intentionally do it or you don't, it's like your child just pick up on the habits of your household. So
absolutely.
I think for me, it's like, I notice Maccabee will like pick up a phone and be like, hello, and just like be talking on the phone. And part of me is like, oh gosh, like, is that something that I should be embarrassed about? Or actually, is it something that I could, it becomes like a teaching moment, isn't it? It's like, oh, that's what dad does for work. And it's like, this is good and work is good. And sometimes I use my phone and I do emails and blah, blah, blah. So I think we try and like involve our children as much as possible. And now with a 7-month-old, like, who am I kidding? Like, he hasn't got a clue. But it's still like, we still travel with both of our children. So we bring them everywhere as much as we can. Mm. They're there in sound checks. They're,
you know, the ear defenders. We've got the sling.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be okay.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I think for, you know, for Ellie growing up, that was very much like the model of their family. So Ellie's father is a musician also, and they would travel as a whole family, like way more children than we have. So Ellie's one of six, the eldest of six children.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is, that's a big jump.
Do the tour bus just to go to the shops.
Seriously. Yeah, literally. Down to Aldi in a little, yeah. In well, you actually did have a bus 5 though. Yeah.
All of that to say, like, that was the kind of culture of your family, wasn't it? It was like you'd go around the world and you have such formative, brilliant memories of like that exact thing, you know, going to sound checks and shows and just being in cool places or not so cool places or, you know, rubbish places, but with your whole family. So I think for us, it's like, okay, if we're going to do this, like if we're going to travel, if we're going to work for ourselves, like let's try and do it so it works for our family. So yeah, I mean, we are totally blagging it, like, honestly.
Oh, aren't we all though?
Yeah. Israel, isn't
we
it?
We speak to our friends who are a similar age and stage, and you know, some of them run their own business as well, and they're very good at, you know, routine and very kind of structured in their day. And us, we just like pinch each other because we're like, oh gosh, like your kid's supposed to go to bed at the same time every day. Oh my gosh, we forgot. Oh, we've given Maccabee the same thing for breakfast, lunch and dinner. Like, oh, embarrassing. But the thing that we feel confident in is like, we're super flexible. Maccabee's super flexible. Travel, like, you know, he just is. So I think for me, it's taken a while to kind of get to the place where I don't beat myself up on the kind of culture or the differences or the non-negotiables that you have as a family.
Yeah,
huge.
Yeah, I think we've learned that, you know, every family is so different, isn't it? We all do have, you know, different values or different way of doing things, different habits, how your house looks, how you do a morning, how you do an evening. Like, and that is so fine that you do things differently to other people. And, you know, you can read every single book of parenting and say, like, make sure you do this, make sure you do this, and, you know, have this in your diet. I don't know. All, it goes on, doesn't it? But I think, like, you really do have to, like, assess your family unit to be like, what's actually best for our family unit, for every single person here, with timings or what we talk about on the dinner table or how we do a morning. You know, it's like, I think it's okay to like adjust and not so look to the world and everyone else to be like, okay, I think that's working, you know. And being also really judgmental too. You don't want to look at other people and be like, oh, definitely not. Oh, yeah. That's not the option either to do that. But like to just be focused on your family and to be like, what's actually healthy? What's works? What makes people feel loved and safe and together? And what are our values as a family? And I think, you know, in Maccabee's room, we just got a thing that says, like, us Lion Bears stick together. And that is the sentiment of our family. Like, yeah, it's maybe a bit chaotic at times. And maybe it's like, we do have fish fingers maybe four times a week for dinner, you know?
Every day.
Potato waffles. Thank you. Yes. Woo! What's it? Bird's eye. Bird's eye potato waffles. Is that? Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I mean, like, I could do a business deal with them.
What a guy.
But I think we've learned, all that to say that we've learned just like, it does look different to maybe other people are the same stage, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But we're just figuring out, again, blagging it on what works for us, and that, you know, keep the boys in and make sure they're feeling, that they're okay, you know, as well as are we able to do that we're supposed to be doing too.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's very much.
We say that all the time, don't we? Like, whatever works for you, just go with it.
Yeah.
If it works for you, your kids are happy and they're healthy, like, just go with it.
Yeah.
Go with it. Do whatever keeps you sane.
Literally.
Yeah, I find it, like you said it, like, I'm not so fussed about what other people think. It's more my own guilt of, like, what you said about work is, even last week, my daughter was like, hey, Daddy, you go play over there and I'm going to go to work. And she just pretended to go on a laptop. And it was like a moment where I was like, I feel a little bit guilty about that. Yes. But that's also just what life is at the moment.
Yeah.
And so it's like there's a healthy balance there of, we're just doing this, we've got to get through.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's the... forgetting, even forgiving myself quite a lot. That's the biggest thing. But actually, I'm just doing the best for my kids.
Absolutely. And then
go from there.
Yeah. Because the parent guilt is a real thing, isn't it?
Yeah. So
and real. You can pick apart your whole day or just of like, oh, crumbs. The list goes on of things that you could have done differently. But I think that is like, you know, that's where you learn too, isn't it? It's like, okay, I'm not going to do that again, probably tomorrow, or snap like that. I'm going to, you know, it's learning, isn't it? So much learning.
Yeah. And it's relearning as well. Because once you see that, like, I've got the hang of this, teething comes along.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, they start to walk or their sleep routine changes and you're relearning potty training.
Oh, yeah. The chart's here just to prove it.
So how is potty training going?
He's doing all right, actually, isn't he?
Well,
we did find a poo the other day on the floor in his bedroom, and we're like, okay, no, I mean,
it's one step.
It's out.
Yes, it's one step further.
Yes,
it's there. Let's just not do that one again, shall we? It's like, but no, he's doing well, actually. It's like, yeah, it's a whole skill to learn, isn't it? What a skill to learn.
A life change.
My thing is, like, to keep myself motivated is, like, think of my son, like, when he's older and he's like, you know, he's come back home after uni and he's like, oh, I'm just going to knit for a week. And I'll be like, I'll tell you that.
I'm like, come on, Tom.
Because part of me's like, oh, just putting like Ellie's hours, smash it on. And I'm like, no, I want to be the dad that's like, I'll tell you that. So
stupid. The wee behind the bush, and it's like, I'll tell you that.
It's like, Dad, stop. It's like, I'll tell you that.
My 4-year-old, so I've taught him, like, you can stand up. You're a boy. It's one of life's gifts. So I was, sometimes I just sit down on the toilet, just take the weight off. And I was just sat down, and he walked in and went, Daddy, we do standing up man wees.
No way.
That's so, I was like, mate, I also need a rest.
That's been a hard day.
Just let me chill, don't judge. Yeah. Bless him. That's funny. So I listened to your interview on the Another Mother podcast, and you told a story about how you were flying to Australia, and Maccabee like sprinted down the middle aisle, and you were chasing him, and a stewardess was chasing you. But you were there kind of chilling with earphones on,
Yes. Which
you can do with one.
Yes.
Not so much with two. So how practically does it kind of all the travel and all the logistics,
yeah,
how does that look?
Yeah, because that was a moment. I was running down the aisle and seeing Tom and Maccabee and he says, and you're right, like I could have my headphones on, but I feel like now with two, it's very much, well, thankfully Maccabee's now over two, so he can have his own seat.
Oh, nice.
And that is a game changer.
Does he sit still?
He does actually.
He does watch films now. He's big into films.
Yes, which is really helpful.
A big film
big
guy.
Big film guy.
That's a milestone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we love film. So that's actually, but for so long, yeah, for 2 years he was on one of our laps and that was just, yeah, chaos. But so fun. And then now with two, Wilson's normally on my lap for feeding and then you're kind of with Maccabee. So I think we have like always the three in the row, you know, on a plane. It's like me and Wilson, then Tom Maccabee. But practically, I think I don't know, what would you say?
I think for me, like when we travel, it's like I'm big, not like a micromanager, but like big planner. Like,
work kicks in.
Yeah, work kicks in and I like tour manager, Tom, it's like, if we arrive at an airport, I'm like, right, we're not messing about anymore. Like, we are going from thing to thing and it's like order and do not ask me questions. This is how we're going to do it. But with kids, like, it's that same mindset. But I think for us, we decided like, okay, if we're going to do this, like, let's not make it stressful. So we try and get to the airport like stupid early, like so early. And we just amble through and we try and make it as fun as possible.
Yeah.
And with Maccabee, now that he's walking, like, he's very like, he wants to walk. He doesn't want to be pushed.
Yes.
So, you know, Wilson's strapped to one of us and Maccabee's walking through. And I think we try to make it as fun as possible and involve him in things. And
Hold the tickets.
Yeah, which is, I mean,
risky business. That is risky business.
Can you hold the passport? Sometimes he's held the passports before, which is a big moment. Mm. He's done well so far with that.
Yeah.
But I think it's the thing of like, you know, if you want to go fast, like, don't bring your children. But I think if you're all right going slow, and again, just like, I think because it is a culture of our family, it's like, I want our children to know how to navigate these things and be in different situations. So I think it is slower, like having a 2-year-old like talk to the check-in person, but I think it's helpful and it softens people.
Yeah,
he's learned a lot about traveling. But.
Yeah, I think we do try and like hopefully make the best out of like what could be a really stressful situation. And part of it is like, yeah, the timing thing of having time. So if something does go wrong, it's like, it's okay. We're like, we've got time. But it is trying to, I read something the other day where I was talking about your everyday life, like our mundane days is your child's childhood. And for me, I was like, oh, wow, yeah. That was such a wake-up call to, like, what we're just doing and what the habits of our day, how we do a plane journey, how we do, you know, our data, whatever it is, that's Maccabee's childhood and Wilson's childhood, and when they're our age, and when I look back to those times, like, you hope that it's, yeah, good. You hope that it was, he can look back on those times that, no, the airports wasn't stressful. That was so fun. I got to speak to this person. I got to get a magazine, maybe from WH Smith, you know, Paw Patrol. But praise the Lord for Paw Patrol too. But yeah, I think that we try and hopefully just make it as light, and even if we're feeling tense too, is trying not to put that on your children, which again is harder said than done, but it is like constantly checking yourself, isn't it? Of, yeah, I don't know. So we're learning. We are massively learning and getting things wrong too. Like, we do things all the time. We get to the end of the day, like, let's not do that again.
Yes.
That actually, we pushed them too far today, or that was too much of a late night, or even recently we did a trip and it was one night. I can't remember where we went, but we got back. We're like, I think that could have been a trip where I could have just gone, and Tom and the boys could have just like stayed here, and we just learn. We're just learning constantly of like, that's too much. I think that could have worked.
It's the thing of like critical thinking matched with grace, but also just giving yourself permission to like debrief things. Like, I think like Ellie's family are really good at like debriefing, because I think, you know, when you do, you know, the travel thing and, you know, the busyness of, you know, Martin, Ellie's dad traveling for music, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's a busy house. And your family is massive. Like, your immediate family is massive, but then your cousins and stuff, like, it's an army. Like, sometimes when it's like, right, all of the Smiths are coming around for Christmas, it's like, oh, that's like 30 or 40 people. It's like a whole thing. And it's like the most fun. But I think in order to be good at things, you do need to kind of have that critical lens on yourself or the way that you do things, or, and not in a way to like beat yourself up, but just to be like, oh, I could have done that way better. So I think we do try and have like debriefs of like, how is this going? Like, are there things that have been non-negotiables that we now need to switch into? Like, okay, sometimes you can go on a trip by yourself and that's a good thing. Whereas before, it was an absolute non-negotiable. It's like, no, we travel like all together and we stick together. But whereas when you think about, you know, putting your children first, it's like, oh, it's actually a really savage thing to get a 2-year-old and a 7-month-old up at 3 a.m. and have them not go to bed in a proper hotel room bed until 1 a.m. the next day. So that is savage. And I think we felt the kind of repercussions of that the week after, when the routine's gone and then suddenly one of them's teething and you're like, oh my gosh, what have we done?
What have we done? Yeah. Yeah, literally.
But yeah, just having that moment of like, it's growth, isn't it? And just learning that as a parent, no one arrives. Like, even speaking to your mum, who's 6 kids and in theory knows so many things, it's like, she's still learning and she's championing that in us to always have that kind of feedback loop in a way of like, okay, what are you seeing that I could do better? What am I seeing that you could do better? What could we do better together? And I think sometimes in the busyness of parenting, that is hard to prioritize, but it's finding time to be like, man, I was an idiot today. Like, how could I have done that better? Or inviting feedback and
And that can be really difficult to like start as well. Like, it's really, it can be like an awkward moment if you've not done it before as well. It's like, where do you begin? And it feels a bit personal, and it's like,
it does, yeah.
Oh, I've made all these mistakes and opening up, but it's vital. Like,
totally.
Because again, if your kids are the priority, it's like, okay, actually we need to make this good.
Totally.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I tell you what I find hard about that. And me and my wife, I'd say very similar, very honest with each other. Is that the only time we really get for those conversations is just before bed.
Yes.
And if the conversation goes a little bit like south.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, we can't have this conversation now because we need to sleep because we're going to be up in 3 hours. Or this isn't how I want to end the day. So let's put it off till tomorrow. And then tomorrow is chaos and you don't get the chance. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of, the timing of it is quite important as well for me.
Yeah, totally. And I think there's two sides to the coin, isn't there? Because there's definitely like a corporate, like, as parents, what can we do better? But I think also for me, like, I'm quite like an introspective person. And I think it's also like building that time to do that yourself as well. It's like, because it's my job to be a great dad and it's Ellie's job to try and be a great mum. Like, we're both trying, but it takes, you know, yourself, like, like, if you want to be a great footballer, you need to learn how to work well as a team. But then you also need to go to the gym and work on your own strength and your left foot and your right foot. Acknowledge your own weaknesses and like bring that and try to actively make change. But it is just so hard because I think that, yeah, you're, I think when you're talking about yourself, you know yourself so well,
yeah,
that you're like, I'm the worst, like, I'm the absolute worst.
Oh, it's so real.
And it's,
yeah,
so, like,
especially when you're tired as well and stressed,
yeah,
it's like all introspective.
It is,
yeah,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah,
it's funny. My wife has to like give me like notice because I'm an internal processor. Yeah. She's like on the fly, yes, really quick. I'm like, give me like 3 hours notice,
yeah, yeah,
and I'll arrive at the same place.
Yes. So good.
I need to like, yeah, come to these, yes, conclusions.
Yeah. My days.
And then we'll talk.
She puts, like, it in your calendar.
Oh my god!
Like, we now actually have a wall calendar with meetings on it.
Brilliant.
Just, actually, no,
that is so good.
It's like time for feedback.
It's not quite that far, but it is that. Like, just the way that we process things is so different, and like she'll have like an immediate revelation that she wants to talk about straight away.
Yeah.
That stressed me out because I'm like, too much information. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And then the guilt comes. Oh, let me process it, and then we'll talk. It's like,
yes,
yeah.
So it's just trying to figure out.
That's funny.
Like, totally. How each other, like,
yeah,
like as well.
Yeah, and I think also to add to that, I feel like, yeah, we can be so critical, can't we? We can like really be introspective and go there on ourselves. But I think the beautiful thing about encouraging one another, what the good things that the parenting things do, I think that's like so important to, but I love how like you just like, you know, took him to one side then and just like how you just talked to him, like that was really beautiful. Like, oh, how, like, I want to learn, like I'm constantly learning from Tom and how he's parenting, and like I want to be a better parent. We want to kind of encourage each other in that, but I think it's really important to say the things that you're loving in like the other person and how they parent, isn't it? Of like, then it's like, oh, I think I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah. You don't realise, do you? Yeah. Like, that like affirmation. Like, we were at a party on Saturday, kids party at Soft Play.
The best.
I was on first like rotor looking after my daughter.
Yeah. Did you have your grip socks?
Yes.
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
They were on like this swingy thing and like my daughter was on it and there was loads of the kids about that wanted to like, and then, oh, can you help me now? She's like, no, I'm not your parent. I swapped with my wife, oh, and then life, literally, yeah, 10 minutes later, like, someone's in them. They're like, she's in there. And I walked in and there's
a queue
of kids. And she's like, organized them all. And like, on the way back home, I was like, you don't understand. That is a gift.
Wow.
Like, I guess other kids like freak me out. I'm like, I'm really awkward. Like, how did you do that?
Wow.
And she's just like, they're all orderly. And after 10 minutes, she'd handed the responsibility to another 7-year-old.
Brilliant.
And it just continued. Best.
Honestly, it was so organized.
That is so good.
I was there, I was looking for my 2-year-old and I just saw M with this queue of kids. She's like, right, now your turn. I'm like, are you on the payroll? Like,
that is so good. Honestly, come on.
Honestly, incredible. I'll just be like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
But it's like on the way back, she didn't realise that was like really big. Mm. She was like, that's just what you do. I'm like, no one does that.
Wow.
Like, yes. Look around, no one does that. Yeah. She's like, oh, okay.
It's love like, that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
tell it out. Yeah. That was great.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
That's so good. That's awesome.
So, Ellie, you mentioned that you're one of six and the oldest.
I am, yes.
So when people say like, our big families, the oldest just ends up looking after the youngest. Is that how it worked for you? Have you kind of always been maternal because of that? Or was it just like...
Yeah, I felt like... So... my story and my childhood was very much, my dad traveled a lot, doing music, touring, and my mum, she was young when she had me, she was 23, and so I very much, and then basically every 2 years there's another kid, so they had me and they just kept going, so there is six of us, four girls, two boys, and like beautiful childhood and memories in, but it definitely was that thing of I was like mum's friend and helper as well as like a daughter, and I think she definitely empowered me though to help too. There was like I would be changing nappies at like 7 years old and things like that. So, but I learned so much. I did though. And now, like, now I'm, when I became a mother, it was really surreal, honestly, becoming a mother, because it felt like I'd done lots of these things before in a way, which sounds really weird because I was like a child and a teenager. But I remember, you know, getting my little sisters off to sleep by singing to them in my arms. And then it was so bizarre the other day, like my little sister was holding my boy, singing to him, getting him to sleep. And I had just this moment of like, oh, I did that to you. Like, that is crazy that like I would sing and jiggle you to sleep whilst mum's like cooking or doing, you know. And now it's come about where it's like, wow, my little sister is now holding my little boy. Like, how beautiful that it's kind of... it goes on, doesn't it? And it goes on. So I feel, definitely very much like I was a helper, but still a daughter too. Very much like had a childhood and did all the things. Yeah.
What about you, Tom? What was like family life for you growing up?
Family life for me, I think, was quite, I would explain it just be like quite normal. So I was like one of three children. I'm the middle child. It just felt, it felt like a really beautiful, like normal childhood. Like, I don't know what else to say. Like, I definitely was like the middle child that felt like, oh, I don't get as much attention here. And I love it.
Cause really?
I can just kind of like, you know,
play the cards,
right. Do what I want to do. I was like big into sports. I played like a lot of sport growing up, but both of my parents worked from home also. And I think that was like a really formative thing for me. Because it was all I've ever really known. It's like coming home from school and both parents being there and, you know, going to knock on my dad's like office door and being like, oh, can you come and play football? They're all I've known and now learned to really value is like the availability of my parents and the fact that they were always around growing up. And I think because that's something that I just loved so much, like that felt like such a core thing for me. It almost felt like as I grew up and started thinking about work and jobs and careers and blah, 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 it felt like something that was almost like non-negotiable for me. Like, oh, I want to be a dad that, you know, works from home. And I know that's not possible. And there's been moments for us where that hasn't been possible financially and I've had to work elsewhere. But that's been like my dream. It's like, I really want to be able to work from home and be as available as I possibly can be in the, within the restraints of work and life and all that kind of thing. But that for me is probably my one big like take home piece of like looking to how my parents parented. I'm like, oh, I really love that they did that. And I want to kind of honor that by trying to do that for my kids as well. I love
that. Yeah, that's amazing. It's like we watch our parents grow, like parent us. We don't realize until we're parents. So we're going, oh, okay. Like we've done this before. Like some of the best bits of my childhood, I try to integrate into my kids' life.
Yes.
Like, sorry. Oh. That's the dishy.
Oh, scared me.
So sorry.
The fish fingers are ready.
The fish fingers.
Captain,
I thought it was like. I thought so the camera was like, "I'm dead." That's no, fine.
So sorry.
We'll cut it. Some of the like favorite moments of like my childhood, I tried to bring into my child's life. Like your parents working from home, that's now quite a big way of how you do life. Ellie, like for you growing up, you're living a similar life almost to what you grew up in. Like, what are some of the best bits that you saw your parents do that you've like integrated in? And it might just be what you've already said already, but
there was such a high value on the kitchen table. Okay. And every, you know, dinner time was like a moment. And that was the place where you'd, you know, everyone's been everywhere throughout the day, but you come back to the kitchen table and you eat together and debrief on your day. You're like highs and lows, or what have you learned, or how did you feel today? It was very much like every dinner time was a conversation where you lock in together. And, you know, there'll be so many different dinner times where you've got the people throwing things at each other. You've got someone crying. You've got someone pinching someone under the table. You've got someone who stormed out. Someone's hormonal. Someone's cross with someone. Something's burning in the oven. You know, it's just like, it's not like, oh, beautiful time around the table. It was like, I remember like, you know, so we got together when I was 16, Tom was 18, and I'd like never brought a boy home to like meet the fam. And I remember bringing Tom home for one dinner time, and bear in mind, so the youngest would have been five, six, having lovely dinner, and I was just like so on edge, because like I was just glaring at my siblings like, you dare, everyone watch it, you know. And like dad's a certain way, everyone's kind of like playing up to the fact that Ellie's got a boy, and just like carnage though. Someone's like, yeah, squash something on someone's plate, someone's like, that's mine. I'm like, welcome to my family. Like, this is it. But the value in like coming together and in the craziness of it. But I think we value so much like this beautiful Facebook market find of a table, you know. Yeah. The coming together, like breakfast, don't quite do lunch around here because we're normally out, but dinner times, cooking together and having conversations, that for me is like really vital. And yes, it can be, yeah, messy, or, you know, Maccabee doesn't even like his food sometimes. You're like, good, yeah. Brilliant, yeah, no worries, all good. Piece of toast?
Fish finger?
Not fish finger? But I think, honestly, for me, the value of a kitchen table and, like, just connect, getting on the same page is really important.
That's awesome. How was your experience of that first dinner?
Yeah. It was.
You're still here. We're married now, so got him.
Nearly 10 years on, still here, but
locked in.
I think for me, it's actually been an amazing journey of like, yeah, valuing something like a mealtime or a kitchen table. And my family growing up, we always had, you know, mealtimes together. But also, I think with Ellie's family, it's like there is this culture of like really sharing, like, you know, everyone like, the parents down to the youngest child, like really honestly sharing. And some of that is sharing about, you know, self, but some of it is like quite it's a very open, what is just an open table culture. So if someone's got a problem with Ellie, like Ellie's gonna know about it, and they're gonna have this forum around the table of like openness and vulnerability, and that upset me or blah blah blah. And I think that is something that particularly your mum has like cultivated, yeah, for years and years and years of like, I really want my home and my kitchen table to be a place where people can come and bring their whole selves. So not, it's not like polite manners and etiquette and yes, yeah, darling, like it's not that. It can be messy and sometimes it's tears, but I think you have that kind of, you know, the tears and the intensity and all that kind of stuff. But the kind of opposite end of the spectrum is that we've had some of our best times, like,
oh my gosh, yeah,
around that table, like laughter and joking and storytelling.
It's
also, I think the subliminal thing for me is like teaching your children that their voice matters, and teaching them that regardless of whatever you have to say, like, we're going to be totally unshockable, and then we're going to ask you questions. Like, I'm really trying to understand, why do you feel a certain way? Like, why have I upset you? Like, what can I do to make that better? And I think that is something that obviously hasn't happened overnight, but has been like 20 something years of cultivating every single mealtime. And the fruit of it now is like every single Sunday, pretty much without fail, like every kind of like Smith in their different iterations, whether they're newly married or about to get married or, you know, 16 or whatever, is at that dinner table and having open and vulnerable and honest conversations about everything from life and boyfriends and faith and I'm not sure what I think about this and what do we think about X or Y. So I just like value that so much. And I think if someone asked me like what's one thing that you would love your, you know, dinner table to be like in 20 years, it would be like that exact thing, like open, honest, vulnerable, like anything goes, unshockable. Because I just think that's a beautiful context for people, because they can bring their whole selves to it. And I would just love for my children to be like, I can tell my dad and my mum like anything.
Yeah.
And that would be like such a dream for me. Like, regardless of whatever happens to them in their life, like I would just love for them to come home to the kitchen table and be like, oh, this has happened, or oh my gosh, like this has happened. So I think it starts today, doesn't it, with a two-year-old, like, what are you thinking about, Maccabee? And he's like, I love Paw Patrol. And I'm like, oh, I'm so gassed that you love it. Yeah. I love it too. Like, and we learn the song, we do. Yeah. But it's showing him, like, I don't actually give a, like, I don't give one about Paw Patrol. Like, I actually, there's better children's things, in my opinion.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Because he loves it. I'm like, well, great. Like, yeah. Oh, I love it. If you love it, I love it. So yeah, we're trying to get there. And like, honestly, for us, it doesn't happen all the time. Like, there's dinner times in the week where it's just chaotic, and you know, there's fish fingers all over the floor. And, you know, Wilson's crawling in his own sick. Like,
literally.
Oh my gosh! Like, what happened to our world? But it all matters, doesn't it? It all matters.
Yeah,
that's our goal in a way.
Totally.
That's amazing. So, Ellie, you've written a book, which I have read, and when I say that, I've only ever read two books.
No way.
That is the second one.
What an honour.
So there you go. So it kept me engaged. It kept me hooked. I read it all. It's a 40-day journal. I read it in like 14 days.
Did you really?
Smashed it. Yeah. Smashed it.
Come on.
On the fast track.
You are on the fast track.
I feel like I'm bragging right now.
That is so good.
So tell us a little
bit. Do you want a potty chart sticker for that?
Yeah. Put a star on the board. Tell us a bit about it. It's called Say Goodbye to Anxiety.
Yes.
Where did that all come from?
Yes. Kind of, so it's a 40-day devotional journal. I wrote it with my friend Jane, who's more of like a mentor to me. So gone to her, about so much. But she, amazing, amazing woman. And basically this book is hopefully an encouragement to people struggling with anxiety, you know, the all kinds of it. You know, it's such a spectrum, isn't it? Anxiety and the pits of it, and then the days or moments. A lot of it is like our story and the tools that we learn and how we've come through, how we've been freed from anxiety. And there's just so much to say in the sense of like, our journeys. But for me, honestly, it looked a lot different to Jane. But I guess with my experience with anxiety, I realized only maybe 5 years ago that this is what has been eating me alive, this thing called anxiety that has been isolating me, shushing me, keeping me inside my home, and stopped me from doing so much. And so it was definitely a whole revelation of like, oh my goodness, like this is not okay. This is like not actually the life that I should be living. This is such a squashed version of my life that I should be living. And like, enough's enough. So it was a real journey of like battling. It was such a battle of like, enough's enough, no, stamping, you know, open communication with my friends, letting people in and being really honest about things that I felt I couldn't do that day. Or, and you know, it was things down to like, I couldn't go to the post office to post things, and I'm like, everyone, like, that's such a normal thing to do, but I literally can't get out of the house and walk down and go. It was just such a paralyzing thing for me to, or driving even. I didn't learn to drive for years. The rest of my siblings like knew how to drive, would pick me up, the elder sister, and drop me off for things. And we were married, and then I eventually passed my test when Maccabee was 8 weeks old. So I did my test
recently,
postpartum, everything, just like so vulnerable and so still so anxious about it, but just like, I need to do this for the, and I think a lot of my kind of battling against it was for my children too. I was like, I don't want to be an anxious mother, I don't want to be an anxious grandmother, I don't want to be an anxious auntie or wife anymore. I don't want to. And so it wasn't just for myself now. It was like, wow, I've got an 8 week old baby now, and this can't be right. I've got to keep pushing through these things that are squashing me. And so, it's definitely been a journey. And, you know, I'm changed. And the things that I thought I could never do, or now I was saying the other day, like, I love driving. I absolutely love driving. Like, I get giddy now, like, getting my keys out. And even, like, Maccabee will be like, can mommy drive now? And I'm like, yes, I can, my boy. I can. I'm going to move over, Dad. Like, I want to drive, you know. But it's like, how can something that once terrified me now become a joy? Like, that is the Lord. But it's been a journey and a full, like, yeah, kicking down things. And, yeah, it's been a journey. But so, all that to say, here's a book that is just filled with things that have helped me, that have helped Jane, that are encouraging, and hopefully will encourage people also struggling and battling with it. Yeah. So that's all.
I thought you... I got loads of questions.
Really? Yeah, I thought you did.
Yeah. Amazing. So I think that's amazing. And I think my experience of anxiety has changed like in the past 6 months. Like, I've had few health issues which have affected like my hormones, and I've experienced anxiety. Well, now what I know is anxiety now for like the first time properly. And it's really hard to explain those feelings to people that have not gone through it.
Wow.
And I think I read, is it Jane that had, like she had medication and like counseling, and that's like the route where I'm in, like, because it is literally like hormones and like battling it.
Totally.
My sister-in-law, she's always struggled with anxiety, and like she's got really strong faith as well, and that really helps in it. But she would talk about the moment that she started going on like meds, and it like changed, like literally. Mm. And she would say that she didn't know what life was like just being able to worry about something a little bit.
Wow.
And it's like she's now happy that she has a little bit of worry rather than like crippling anxiety. And I think it was the introduction of children where you go, oh, I've got to sort this out. Like, and it was like all of us, like, when you have kids, you go, so I got to get this, got to really get on top of this for my kids.
Yeah.
And it's like that little extra bit of motivation that you don't have before. Cause you're like, it's just me, I'll just crack on. And now it's like, now you have a dependent. Yeah. Like, I actually have to be the best for them.
Wow.
And that's just like I find that so fast that a lot of parents then experience anxiety going, okay, this is the same in different setting. Wow. I need to sort this out.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. That's so true.
Yeah, and obviously being a parent, we were talking before we started to record. Like, I'm not a worrier. I'm pretty laid back. I think to my wife's, like, hates it sometimes. I'm just like, whatever, like, it'll be fine. But I find myself worrying about my kids in their future, in their teens. Like, how's life going to look for them? What's social media going to look like? Are they going to get bullied at school? What battles are they going to face? And being a parent, just kind of, you start to look at things through a different lens, don't you?
Definitely.
Is that something you've experienced? Obviously, you said that, you know, you wanted to change for the better for the boys, but is there anything else that's kind of heightened that anxiety a little bit?
I guess, like you say, it's kind of like those almost like normal fears, if you know what I mean, that's like not irrational, that kind of we would all maybe be a bit worried about of those things that you've mentioned. And but I think also for me, I was kind of also surprised when I had Maccabee. One of my big fears, funny enough, was flying, and that's what we did all the time. But like having Maccabee was, again, I was like, wow, we're going to go on a flight. What is this going to be like? But honestly, I was shocked on how the distraction and the flip of like, I wasn't thinking of myself, but I was having to like more think of Maccabee. It completely shift of like, this is so fine. This is so fine. I'm fine. It's all good. Is he okay? And all my attention was like focused on him, which I was actually very surprised about, that how something that once terrified me again, that a child, as beautiful and chaotic as they are, like what a beautiful distraction in a way, that is like what's once terrified me is now, again, I'm like, I'm so fine flying now. Like, bit of turbulence here and there. I'm like, my gosh. Is everyone okay? Throw the pretzels over to me. No. But I think, yeah, there's kind of like, yeah, I'm not actually a professional also in talking about this. Like, I want to say that I don't actually know all the ins and outs about anxiety. But I know for me, and my journey of anxiety is that there are crippling days, weeks where you're like, is this ever going to end? And will I ever be free of this? Will I ever not be frightened or think? But knowing that there is, there can be an end, and there can be freedom, and there is light. I don't know if that's answered your question, but
so, without giving away too much of the book, like, what would be like your go-to like main mechanism, like now when it starts creeping in, like what's the first thing that you like rely on?
I think honestly is saying out loud on what is actually the thing that you're anxious about in that moment has really helped me. And Tom used to say this thing where if I was like anxious about something, he's like, is this something that you want me to cover you in and like do for you? Or is this something that you want me to like push you in to be like, no, come on, you can do it sort of thing. And I think for me in those times was so helpful to be like, do I have the willpower today to do that thing? Do you know what? Can you actually cover me in this moment? And I'm going to do it one day, but today's not the day. Or there would be times where I'd feel that confidence. He would ask that question, but like, let's freaking do this. Yes, I'm going to get in the car and go to a lesson or something. But I think actually openly saying the thing that you're anxious about, the weight drops off of it massively. Because once you say it, it's like, oh, listening to your own voice say, oh, I'm anxious about this. You're like, okay, so that's what it is. It's not this, it's not this, it's not this. It's actually this thing.
Takes some of the mystery out of it, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. And I think what anxiety does, it blows everything massive to be like, you're fearful of everything. It's like a massive flag of like, you're never going to be free. You're just, everything's awful and everything, you're going to die, you know. But actually when you say the thing that, what you're at the root of it, saying out loud, I felt like the weight of it dropped off. So that's honestly something that I, used to do a lot. But there's so many other things in there. But the first thing was almost just like naming
just
it.
Name it.
Yeah.
And that's something I noticed reading it. It's very practical. Mm-hmm. It's like there's opportunities to journal things and you say, you know, say it out loud, listen to this song, here's a prayer. Yes. Kind of, it's really practical. Yes. So I really enjoyed reading it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm glad. Come on, kick the fear out. Don't let it win.
Where can people get hold of it?
Anywhere, I think. Is that right, Tom?
All
I don't
good,
know. Tour manager, Tom.
All
the bookstores.
All the bookstores. Amazon, all the places.
Amazon, my website. Oh, yeah, all the things. Yeah.
Here's a QR code.
Click here. Oh, amazing. Well, thank you so much for having us. What's next for you guys? What's on the cards?
What is next?
Oh, lots of...
I've got a tour coming up in June. Yeah, which is very exciting. Got a new record coming out, which is very exciting. Raising our boys, making sure they're fed with fish fingers. Tom is busy bee, doing all sorts, keeping everyone alive, all the things that you're doing. But
no pressure.
No pressure. No pressure
for
that. Thank you so much.
just trying to be a good mum and dad, you know?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, in it all, trying to be a good mum and dad.
I don't know. I don't know what's next. What are you guys up to?
What about you? Who knows?
I could only think as far as lunch.
Like, I know.
Take every day as it comes.
Literally. Yeah. Let's do that.
Amazing. Thank you guys so much for coming to the podcast. And for listeners, look out for the tour dates and see if it's near you.
Yes.
Amazing.
Hopefully. See you there.
See you there. Thank you guys.
See ya.
So a massive thank you once again to Tom and Ellie. Be sure to follow them on socials and keep an eye out for the tour dates.
Don't forget to buy Ellie's book. If you want to, say goodbye to anxiety. It's available everywhere.
Thank you for listening. See you next week.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.